Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Our show is titled "The Word for Today is," and I'm your host, Stephanie Hill Williams, owner and vice president of operations for Williams and Associates LLC.
We're coming live from Indianapolis,
Indiana.
Thank you for being with us today. Because you make it happen.
Again, welcome to The Word for Today Is, and thank you for being with us tonight. This is a live internet radio show. Again, that toll-free call-in number is 1-855-345-4717. This recording will be available here on Blog Talk Radio after the show. It usually takes about 5 to 10 minutes for them to upload, and I will also post to Facebook, Google, LinkedIn, and Twitter. You will also have the capacity to download it and share with your friends, family members, and or business associates. We are now on Podcast, which is an app that you can add to your iPhones as well as iTunes. I am seriously improvising tonight. We moved, as you know, and I have yet to have my internet service connected, which they say they will get to tomorrow. So we're just praying that that will happen. So I'm actually calling in and working through my iPhone to get my guest on the air. And we're praying for good weather in her area because there are some thunderstorms coming through. So we're just praying that God would just work this all out because he's worked it out thus far. But thank you for being with us. Again, the number of active listeners is steadily growing. Most are coming through iPhones, this website, and others on iTunes as well as our podcast. We thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedules, and I hope we will always have something that will inspire, educate, and motivate you to live a better life with God's blessings always at the forefront of all that we do. I do have a few prayer requests and I just ask for your patience as I go through these because there is so much going on in our country. But I'd like to, first of all, thank everyone for your prayers. We are now moved and pretty much settled into our new home here in Indianapolis and hope to have our family and friends over soon for a barbecue, maybe after the weather clears out some and it cools down. Fall is probably, to me, a great time to have a barbecue. This is another reminder of how good God really is. We're back in our hometown and somewhat retired. However, that may take a few more years in actuality because my husband and myself, we love to stay active in our community and we love working with people. We're now in the process of looking for a church home. So please continue to lift us up in your prayers. Also, our prayers go out to the Phelps family here in Indianapolis. I do know Bishop Phelps, and I found out yesterday that his grandson actually was killed on Tuesday. He was only 19 years old. My God. This is so sad. Bishop Phelps was the brother-in-law to my sister, still is the brother-in-law, my sister Dorothy, who was married to his brother, the late Paul Phelps. And we are so sorry for their loss. So please keep this family lifted up in your prayers, as well as our black communities. Here in Indianapolis, where black-on-black crime, especially I found out on the east side, is still plaguing our city as well as others around the country. So keep our cities around the country lifted up in your prayers. Also, on the other hand, the tragic shooting in Charlotte, South Carolina. Oh, my gosh. At the historical Emmanuel AME Church has just left us all baffled. It was mentioned that 9 people were shot and killed, including the pastor and senator. He's a pastor and senator, Clementa Pinckney. What is so bizarre about this? The shooter was actually sitting amongst them in Bible study at the same table and sat there for about an hour and all of a sudden stands up and starts shooting. And he did leave one woman alive to tell the story. And then we found out about a 5-year-old little girl who played dead in order to stay alive. My Lord, it just lets you know that you never know when the sheep in wolf's clothing, the wolf in sheep's clothing, I said that wrong, is among you. So we just have to be more alert. We become so complacent in our everyday lives. But what's so sad, this was a church, a place where you go to find healing and prayer and a place to praise God and find peace. And then this happened. So please continue to lift up Charleston, South Carolina, as well as the church, which from my understanding is a very historical church that was founded by the AME denomination years ago, which stands for African Methodist Episcopal, and they do a lot in the communities. But anyway, this was a historical church, and it's just so sad that this had to happen on Tuesday, yesterday, last night. One thing I do know is God sees all. So for him to allow this to happen was for a reason. Even though we don't understand it right now, he sees the beginning and the end. So as we walk in faith in him, we must find solace in knowing that he will work it out for his glory and for the betterment of his people. But again, we will continue to pray for these families and for the Emmanuel Church body. It is a sad time in our history right now. It's a plight of so many, have been at stake, and yet, as Christians, we must stand in the gap for all and love all. One more request. Please continue to pray for our country as the new leadership will take place in 2016 when our current President Barack Obama steps down. We pray that God will send a leader after his own heart to lead this country as we continue to walk in faith for that. I would like to next introduce our guest. Deborah Alferio is a native of Northern Ohio whose award-winning Forever Love series was inspired by an actual dream. With no formal training in writing, she attributes her gift for the art to divine intervention. Her unique approach to writing has earned her a multitude of speaking appearances, local television, radio, and internet, and newspaper interviews, and listings in Who's Who's directory. She currently holds the title of Ohio Representative for Authors Across America through Author House Publishing and is a member of the International Writers Association, American Authors Association, Ohio Professional Writers, Writers, Inc., and the Sauna Friends Writers Group. The author donates a portion of all her profits to the American Cancer Society. Praise God for that. When she isn't writing, Debbie enjoys spending time with her husband and two sons, taking long walks, reading, crafting, and being outdoors. A true animal lover, the author shares her home with two spoiled dogs, seven lovable cats, her son's ball python, a dwarf bunny, and a little spotted mouse named Mary Jane. Oh, this sounds so familiar because since we've moved in, we've seen all kind of birds, but squirrels, chipmunks, I heard there's a red fox in the area, coyotes. But anyway, we're animal lovers too, so we're loving being out in this country. Debbie's website is www.freewebs.com/Deb's Books. That's D-E-B-S-B-O-O-K-S altogether. And I'll give that again at the end of the show. And you can follow her blog, The Ink Spot, at www.DebbieAlferio, and that's spelled A-L-F-E-R-I-O, Debbie Alferio, altogether, .blogspot.com. And she is also on Facebook. So I am going to bring Debbie on the air right now. Debbie, welcome to The Word for Today Is.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Good, good, good.
And the storms are rolling through, so hopefully
yes, good. I hope the weather
agrees
with us tonight.
yes.
Okay, I'm going to start with just somewhat a general question. Tell us about, and I did read some of that in your bio, but tell us about growing up in Northern Ohio.
Well, the great thing about where I live, I'm situated directly between Cleveland and Sandusky. So 30 miles west is Cleveland, 30 miles west is Sandusky, 30 miles east is Cleveland. And I'm 5 miles south of Lake Erie. So there's always something to do. No matter what time of the year it is, you can find something to do around here. We have, you know, of course, all the wonderful things in Cleveland. We have the Cleveland Sports. We have museums, dining, and, you know, there's a little bit of everything, concerts in the summertime. Just you name it, you can go there and always find something to do. And then if you head to Sandusky, of course, there's Cedar Point Amusement Park, which is always a lot of fun, especially if you're a roller coaster enthusiast, which I'm actually not. But I really don't like them, but my kids do. So we usually end up there at least once a summer for, you know, my boys to do their thing. And my husband and I have gotten to the point where our excitement lies more in the merry-go-round and the Ferris wheel and watching the shows. But it's still enjoyable. And there's,
okay.
of course, the lake, you know, there's fishing. And, if you have
yeah.
a boat, you can go out on a boat. And you know, it's just always, all year round, there's things to do here. We're not far from a few ski resorts, local ski resorts. We have toboggan chutes locally. So it's always entertainment. Always
okay.
something to do.
Good. It sounds like fun. A fun place
to be.
It
can be. Yes,
okay.
definitely.
Wonderful. Your Forever Love series, you said, was inspired by a dream. Can you share that dream with the audience tonight?
Absolutely. The funny thing let me preface this by saying, when I dream, I usually have very vivid dreams. Sometimes I wake up and I am not sure if what I've dreamed about really happened or if it truly was just a dream. So I dream in color. I feel things just like, as if I were awake, which is really, you know, I know a lot of people do that, but I hear, you know, most people don't. So this dream I had, it was September 2004, went to bed like every other night, fell asleep, and I dreamed that I was sitting in what appeared to be an office on a couch. And next to me was a young man that I did not recognize. I have no idea who he was. All I remember is that he had dark hair and very blue eyes. Very handsome young man, I might add. I'll throw that in. And I have no clue what we were talking about. We were having some sort of a conversation. I don't remember any of the conversation. But I turned toward him, looked him squarely in the eyes, and I said, "Okay, Mitch." And I woke up. I don't know anybody by the name of Mitch or Mitchell. I've never met anybody by that name. I was trying to think, did I watch a TV show that had a character with that name, and I couldn't think of anything. So why I addressed him by that name, I still to this day have no clue whatsoever. But that is all I remember about the dream. But just from that little remnant that I just told you, a story started forming in my head, which, again, for me was very unusual because I have no training in writing. I never thought about becoming an author, never thought about writing anything at all in my entire life. And the story just, it was like something was telling me, don't let this go. You need to get this out. So I got my boys off to school, went down to my computer, sat down, and started writing what became my first book. And it just flowed for me like it had always been in there just waiting to come out. I didn't have to think about character names. I didn't have to think about plot. I didn't have to think about dialogue, nothing. It all just flowed for me so easily. It was just remarkable, just absolutely remarkable.
And I love the story. I've started reading, and I'm at the point now where you go to meet his parents.
No. One of my favorite parts, yes.
Yes.
One
go
of my
ahead,
favorite
I'm sorry.
Parts. I don't want to give it away. Don't want to be a
right,
spoiler.
Right.
That is one of my favorite parts. I don't know if you've gotten to the part yet where his sister asks how they got together, and he just kind of throws out a little thing that could be interpreted a number of different ways as his answer. And like I said, I don't want to spoil it, but if you haven't got to that part, it's kind of humorous. That's probably one of my favorite parts of the book.
Okay, but it was like you were meant to be together because, and I don't want to give away the whole book either because at the beginning this other thing doesn't work out and he's just there and it's like you just connect
right
away.
Absolutely. Definitely a love at first sight, and that does happen. Now, people in our society today don't believe that, but I truly believe in that. I truly believe in that.
I do, too.
And even
my
husband
and I met that way, and we're still together, Debbie, so I believe in that.
Absolutely. You know, my husband and I, it was almost the same thing. I had been dating someone for about almost 3 years, and we parted ways. And I wasn't really even searching for someone. I mean, if somebody came along, I was okay with that, but I wasn't searching. And my husband actually showed up in my living room with another friend of mine one night, and we connected, and same thing, the rest is history. We've been together almost 30 years, almost married for almost 27. So it was meant that God sent him to me directly. I didn't even have to leave my house.
Yes. And we tell each other, too. God put us together, because after all these years, you know, we still enjoy each other's company, but I'm not here to talk about me. Let's move on. That's how the story got started. That's amazing.
It really, I still honestly have trouble believing that that happened, because, like I said, I never aspired to be an author growing up. I mean, I was one of those kids where every once in a while I'd take out the notebook and I'd write a little poem or something, you know, fun. But it wasn't like I really thought, okay, when I grow up, I want to be an author, I want to be a writer. I never took any classes on it, didn't go to college for that. My degrees are in secretarial, or, well, I guess they call it administrative assistant now, to be politically correct. But those are what my college degrees are in. They're not in writing. And now here I am, you know, almost 11 years later. And it just amazes me the way God has worked. I mean, I know that it was all his doing, absolutely, without a doubt.
So now I see why you call it, yes, yes. I see now why you mentioned it being divine intervention.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
Because it wasn't something that you hadn't really thought about or even prepare yourself for doing so.
Right, and I know I see. I wonder sometimes, you know, why am I doing this? Why does God want me to do this? And then He'll send a little reminder, like I get what I call fan mail from some of my readers, and I always respond. I get, you know, emails or whatever they are, however they come in, and I always respond to the people. You know, thank them for writing to me and thank them for supporting me and what have you. And then I print them out and I put them in a little file. And what if I get depressed and I'm like, oh, I'm not doing very well, blah, blah, blah. You know, we get our own worst critic. I'll pull those out and read them, and they inspire me. But a few of those have been from young women in their teens who have told me that my books have inspired them to keep looking for their own Mitch, the right man, the one that God wants them to be with.
Right.
Not the boy that just comes along and wants whatever he can get from them and just wants to use them. It's helped them to see that there are good guys out there and that they need to respect themselves enough to hold out for that. And that makes me feel really good. You know, that makes me know that God is working through me to reach these people. And,
that's right.
And it inspires me to keep going and keep writing and keep, you know, keep doing what I'm doing.
Good, very good. Tell us about some of the television shows and newspaper interviews that you've appeared in.
Well, they're all local. Television show was a local cable show called People to People, and I was actually interviewed. And there I went, you know, to the local. They actually broadcast this through our local high school, and so I went to their little studio, and it was really kind of neat because it was at Christmas time, and they had the stage all set up with, you know, chairs and a fake fireplace and the whole nine yards, and it's like, oh, this is kind of cool. And I was interviewed. It was about an hour, hour and a half, and they interviewed me, and I got to talk about the books and show the books and tell my story. And then it was broadcasted, you know, in our local area on the, you know, the cable network here. And I did get a lot of feedback from that. I was really very surprised how many people actually watched it. as far as the newspapers, again, local interviews, one of our newspapers that is actually, the closest to us is called the Morning Journal. It's here in Lorain, Ohio. And I was fortunate enough to meet a reporter who belongs to a local women's group that I did a presentation for, and we, you know, started talking, and she was inspired by my story, and she talked her editor into allowing her to do an interview with me. And so she came over, and, you know, we went through the questions and everything, and she had a photographer come and actually take a few pictures, and I thought that was really neat, you know, this little nobody girl here from Amherst, Ohio, getting into the newspaper. And I thought, okay, it's going to be this little, you know, tiny article, and, you know, she told me what day it would be running. So I get my Sunday newspaper, and I open it up, and there's a full-page article with me, a huge light on the page. And I just started laughing. I'm like, oh, my goodness, really? I didn't know this would be that big. And I
what a way
that,
to humble you, huh?
I was like, oh, my gosh, really?
Mm-hmm.
But that
was
awesome. A lot of fun. Yeah, and a few other local newspapers have done interviews with me as well, especially when my second book came out. You know, I wrote my own press release and sent it to them, and I actually got a few small interviews. And then a few local radio stations as well in the area.
Okay.
One I've actually been to, I think, at least two or three times. Um, the the lady who interviewed me, I'm not sure if she's still there now or not, but she's a good Christian lady, and she was very inspired by my books. And thankfully, even though it was not a Christian radio station, I will say that it is a secular musical station, but she would interject her faith and, you know, her thoughts and feelings about her faith into her program, not caring.
Good.
You know,
good.
And I thought, good for you, good for you. And that, and I was just so comfortable. It was just a lot of fun. She made it a great time, and I just loved doing it. So those were like my 15 minutes of fame, I guess you could say.
Well, and you're still writing, I'm sure, right?
Yes, I am still writing. I will be very honest, and I'll throw this out to if any of my readers are listening. Yes, book three is coming.
Wonderful.
Our family is, not to focus on the negative, but my family has gone through quite a bit of hardship over the last 5 to 7 years. This year has been especially rough for us, and I won't go into a lot of detail there. A lot of illness and just some other, both my sons are going through some personal issues and just things like that. So writing has taken a little bit of a back seat because of, you know, having to focus on my family and the issues that we're dealing with. But I am still working on this. I am still working on book three. It's been quite a while. I know my readers are anxious and they're waiting, and I appreciate that so much, that they support me so much. I have the greatest readers in the world. But I am working on that little by little, and hopefully in the not-too-distant future I'll have that done and out there. That's
great,
the goal.
Great, great.
So in God's timing.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Sometimes things happen for a reason, and it may be something you can use in one of your books that's going to help someone else, you know, along the way. So you never know.
Right,
but we'll
exactly.
keep you and your family lifted up in our prayers as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Can never have too much prayer, that's for sure.
That's right. That's correct. So correct. You hold the title of Ohio Representative for Authors Across America. Can you tell us about that organization?
Well, actually, Authors Across America isn't really an organization. It was a campaign.
Oh, okay.
It was a campaign that my publishing company, Author House, started back, oh, goodness, it's probably been a good, I'm going to say 8 or 9 years ago. And what the purpose of Authors Across America was to spread the message of literacy and across the United States, across America, and also to promote not only Author House authors but self-publishing in general, because, you know, self-publishing still gets a little bit of a stigma against it in the literary world, unfortunately. I mean, we're breaking that. Finally, there's more and more authors going into self-publishing. There's so many different methods now available. But at that time, it was still pretty much frowned upon by a lot of, you know, the bigger literary people. And so they started this campaign, and they chose one of their authors from each state to be that state's representative. And they and I was chosen for Ohio, which was a great honor for me. Again, another 15 minutes of fame, if you will. And what was really fun is I got to go into Cleveland. They hired a photographer, and I got to go into downtown Cleveland and do a photo shoot with my book. At that time, I only had the first book out, and it was a lot of fun. It made me feel like I was really, somebody successful. You know, and then
you are.
Thank you.
They put that
on their website, and they with a story about, you know, how I felt about, you know, what literacy meant to me, or, you know, the campaign for literacy meant to me, and, you know, a little bit, and I had to say a little bit of something about Author House, of course, you know, promote them a little bit. And it was just a lot of fun. In fact, my husband nabbed the only picture that I actually got to keep, and he has it on his desk at work, and he shows up. This is my wife, and she's an author. So I get some free promotion from him,
he
too.
Well, good.
You know,
proud of
why
you. So what about the Sauna Friends Writers Group?
Friends. Oh, gosh. Uh-huh. Well, that's another funny story. Back when I first started writing, this is probably, I believe, in 2006, I want to say, 2006 or 2007, I took a little trip to Columbus for a author's event, and there was, you know, there it was in what they call the Thurber House, which is a historical building there. They hold, they use it mostly for conferences and things like that now. But anyway, they had upstairs and downstairs, they had authors set up, and then they also had guest speakers throughout the day, and the public could come in and listen to the speakers, and they could, you know, purchase books from the authors. And a group of us, about, I think there were six of us, got stuck upstairs in this little tiny room, probably about the size of a bedroom, and there was no air conditioning up there, and it was a 94-degree day in September.
My goodness.
It's very, very hot. The only thing we had to keep us cool was opening the window, which, of course, didn't keep us cool. Jammed in there like sardines. And we became, we just, you know, from being then stuck in this situation all day long, we chit-chatted and got to know each other and became friends. And someone made the offhanded remark that it is like a sauna in here.
That's where sauna came
friends.
From. Okay.
Yes. So we're kind of like a little close. So we dubbed ourselves the sauna friends. We most of them live in Columbus, and I'm the only one here in northern Ohio. And then we did have one gentleman who was our, we call him our wayward son, and I believe he lives in New England now. We're all still very close friends, and we keep
That's
in touch
great.
With each other. And we're a close group. We don't allow anyone else in. It's just us. And we have done some appearances together, which is really nice. And we've seen, you know, we've helped each other out with our successes and our failures and our, you know, personal things. And we're just, it's just a great group of people and very, very talented authors. Every single one of them are extremely talented. And
very
I love them all to pieces. I really do. I'm very proud to be part of that group. Yes.
Okay. Super, super. By the way, Debbie is part of the writers group on LinkedIn, and that's where we met. I was looking for some people to come on the show, as well as the lady that was on, Marlene, that was on last month. They're part of my LinkedIn writers group that I started back in 2008, and gosh, now we have over 3,500 members, but it's on LinkedIn.com for anyone interested in joining. It's a group of writers, publishers, authors, and we kind of network together, and the group is called Write It Down. And I got that title from just thinking, you know, sometimes you think of thoughts that you want to maybe put in a book or write about later, but if you don't jot it down, a lot of times you forget about it. So that's where that title came from. Write it down. Whatever those thoughts came that come to you, because you never know when you'll need them. As Marlene and I talked about last month about having a journal, it's so important. Now, Debbie, your Forever Love series. How many books? I know I'm reading one, but is it a group of books is it a series of books?
Yes, it is a series. I currently have two published, working on the third. The second one is Waiting for Tomorrow. And that one is actually, though it is the sequel to A Forever Kind of Love, it can be read independently. What I did with that one is I put enough backstory in it that you can be caught up with the characters and what happened in the first book without actually having read the first book, in case, you know, some people just like to start
That's right. Because if you,
yeah,
just like these movie series, if you haven't seen the first one, then you're kind of lost when you go to see the second one. So the same in the book. Well, that's good. That's good to know. Yeah,
I didn't want to leave people, you know, hanging in case for some reason they weren't able to get the first book, or perhaps I was at an appearance and maybe didn't have the first book, maybe I ran out of it or whatever the issue might be, they could still be caught up, you know. And
great.
And each one does have a cliffhanger ending, which gets resolved in the following book. And I will say the second book's cliffhanger is whether or not Mitch lives or dies. So he gets into a situation that, like I said, it's whether or not he lives or dies. And this is why, one of the reasons why my readers are so anxious for me to, or eager for me, rather, to get it finished. This poor man has been in this situation for quite a long time now.
Okay.
So
and I can't wait to... Yes, I can't wait to finish this one and get into the next one then. And Mitch is an awesome guy.
Isn't he, though? I'm involved.
He is.
Oh, if only he were real.
Yeah.
Well, to me,
yeah.
He is.
Never know.
But, to me, he is. But
yes, that's right. Okay, so I read where you donate a portion of your profits to the American Cancer Society. Is there any particular reason why you chose? I mean, this is great, but I'm just wondering if there's some history as to why you chose this particular organization.
There absolutely is. I have a number of people in my life that have been either touched with cancer in some way. I've lost some relatives to cancer, unfortunately. I have cancer survivors in my family. My best friend is a cancer survivor. I have had a few cancer scares myself, and thankfully everything's turned out that it wasn't cancer. Most recently, I had mentioned earlier that my family was going through some struggles this year especially, and one of those was my father was diagnosed with cancer in January. And this was all very, very sudden, of course, very, scary, whatever word you want to term. I know those out there who are listening that have dealt with this themselves, they understand that feeling. But fortunately, he underwent surgery in April. He had his prostate and his bladder both removed. Doctors are very confident that all the cancer was contained in those two areas and that they did get it all. And he is recovering very well. He's actually back to his old self now. And we are just so blessed and so grateful to God for just the doctors that he had and the care that he's been getting and just the fact that he's still with us and he's going to be with us for a lot longer. And that means everything. That means everything.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. ACS is so, in that way, has really become even more real, that this is the organization that I, again, God intervened. This is the organization I was supposed to be donating to all along. What goes around comes around. It's all, in the end, you see the reasons for things sometimes. And
that's right.
It's an awesome charity, and I'm just praying that in some way, that, my books will not only speak to people and, through the stories that I write, but also maybe the donations that I make, however big or small they happen to be, will maybe help find a cure for this ugly, ugly disease.
Yes, that has touched probably just about everybody in some way.
Yes, most definitely.
A family member, if not personally. And
right.
But it's amazing, what they can do today, especially with breast cancer. Thank God the technology and medical research has come a long way in those areas.
Yes.
And that's one of my favorites, too, to donate to is the American Cancer Society. Okay. Well, what advice, Debbie, would you give someone today who is thinking about becoming a professional writer?
Wow. Where should I start? I would say probably first and foremost is don't let anyone tell you that you can't do it. Because that is just not true. No matter what, stay confident. Keep working at it. Keep writing. Keep perfecting your craft. Learn what you can. Join writers groups. Network with other authors as much as possible. And don't give up. I mean, there are many times, especially over these past several years, where, like you said, my family's been going through some hardships, and I've just sat down and tried to write, and nothing comes to me. It's just totally blank. I'll stare at the screen, and nothing's there. And I'll say, okay, maybe I'm not meant to do this anymore. And I get discouraged, like you do. And then all of a sudden, God will send me a sign, and I'll get, a note from somebody, or somebody will ask, or tell me that they really like the books, or one of my other writer friends will say something, and a sign will come to me, and I'll know, no, you're not supposed to give up. Keep going. Keep trying. When it's ready to be published, when it's ready to be written, it'll happen.
It'll get written. That's right.
You just have to keep going. I mean, that's probably the number one piece of advice is just don't give up and don't let anybody discourage you no matter what. Take advice, but take some of it with a grain of salt, because you're always going to have critics. And some people are going to give you good critical advice, you know, constructive criticism, and some people are going to just be mean. And that's just, unfortunately, that's how our world is. And you have to, you'll learn how to discern one from the other. But
that's
just take the advice, take the good advice. Don't let it get you down. If it is, you know, critical advice, take it and learn something from it and perfect your craft. Just keep going.
Very, very good.
That's probably like the best advice I can give.
Okay. And I hear that a lot because Marlene mentioned it last month, and you're so right. People will discourage you and just never, 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 never give up. Now, I have a question that I meant to ask her too, but I forgot. But when you draft your, when you start to write, do you type it in your word processing or do you write it longhand?
No, I do it all on my laptop. I tried writing longhand, and I'm one who, which you're really not supposed to do this, but I do it anyway. I kind of break the rules when I write. As I edit as I go along a little bit, I'll write something and it's like, no, I don't really know if I like that. And it's so much easier to highlight and delete than it is to scribble it out, and write again.
Okay.
So, no, everything's done on my laptop. Now, I just actually purchased, it's funny you should ask that, because I just purchased off eBay. It's an outdated unit, but it's a personal word processor, and all it does is it's just for writing. There's no internet connection or anything like that. Because I have a bad habit, especially here recently, of I'll be writing a little bit and I'll say, I wonder what's going on in Facebook. I'm going to check my emails.
Distractions.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very easily distracted. So I found this thing and I showed it to my husband. I'm like, look at this. He's like, hey, if it'll think it'll help you, go ahead, go for it. So
I'm actually waiting
for FedEx to deliver it any day now, and I'm excited to try it out. So hopefully that'll keep me more focused, and I can get book three done.
and that's exactly right, because all you can do with that is just, you know, do your typing. Like, it reminds me of the old days when we had the typewriter.
Exactly.
Yes, and nothing to distract you. The reason I ask that, because I read a lot of Barbara Taylor, Bradford, some Jackie Collins, but they still write out longhand. I said, oh, my God. You know, after using the word processor and the computer so much, I find I can't even write sometimes.
I did, same
is
with me.
Bad, but
yes. Oh my goodness, that's the other thing. My writing is atrocious, and it's like, what did I say?
It's gotten so horrible. I think that's why I went back to journaling, because it helps me keep my script writing, perfected.
We are definitely a society spoiled by technology, no doubt about that.
Yes. Very good. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience tonight?
Well, like I say, I'm working on book three, and I invite everyone to please check out my books. You'd given the website and my blog earlier. My blog is primarily writing tips. I will say I am getting ready to post another blog post to it within the next day or two. It's been a little bit of time since I posted something, a few months. But I do have something ready to go, probably within the next day or two. So check that out, especially if you are an aspiring writer. So a lot of things I put on there are not only just writing tips, but like book promotion, marketing, just anything really related to writing, pretty much.
Okay.
And I'm on Facebook. I don't have a dedicated author page on Facebook, but you will find me on there. So if you want to friend me, just put a little note that you heard me on the podcast today. So I do kind of screen who I friend, to be quite honest. I had some little bit of trouble there one time in the past. So I am kind of skeptical about that now, or careful about that rather now. But most likely I will friend you. So don't worry so much about that. I'm good for also just on my website you'll find contact information for me. If you have questions about writing or need advice, feel free to contact me. I'm always open to helping any way that I can.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I'll give those websites again. And also on your Facebook, you do have links to the websites as well, right?
I do believe that I do, yes. I had to think about that, but I think that I do. I'll double check that to make sure.
Okay, very good. Debbie, thank you so much. I really enjoy speaking with you and the information you shared, and I'm loving your book. So looking forward to reading the next one as well.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed being on the show, and I appreciate you having me.
Okay, you must come back.
I sure will, anytime.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Debbie, and have a wonderful evening.
You too. Thanks, Stephanie.
Alrighty, bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay, again, that website is freewebs.com/Deb's Books. And also her Ink Spot blog site is debbieaferio.blogspot.com. And that's spelled debbieaferio.blogspot.com. Okay, I tell you, I really enjoyed having Debbie on the show tonight, and we'd like to thank her again for joining us on The Word for Today Is. Remember, next month, my guest will be Chandra Livingston, who owns a wealth and wellness consulting practice for inspiration, financial education, and green e-commerce. Sounds interesting. You'll find resources for living in abundance. Chandra offers you strategies to become more efficient and profitable within your personal and business lifestyle. So be sure and tune in. That's July 30th at the same time. In closing, remember, if you have any questions, comments, or requests, you can always contact me at stephanie@williamsassociates.org. Our toll-free number is 1-888-484-0079, extension 2. Or our new business number in Indianapolis is area code 317-272-1068. Thank you again for joining. The word for today is, continue to walk by faith, knowing that God is working everything out for your good. Good night.
And I see you.